This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Indiana Business News, the program that provides you with the latest information on business innovations in the Hoosier State. It's Indiana Business News, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Indiana Business News, and I'm your reader, Victoria Cantrell, with the Auto Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from InsideIndianaBusiness.com, copyright 2025, IBJ Media. And now, I'll begin with the article, A Federal Shutdown Will Hit Indiana Residents and Workers, Here's How, posted on Wednesday, October 1st, 2025, written by Dylan Pierce McCoy. Indianapolis. Federal employees across Indiana will be furloughed or forced to work without pay beginning Wednesday after Congress failed to fund the government, leading to a shutdown. While the largest share of federal employees are in Washington, D.C., there are civilian workers around the country, including those working in areas such as law enforcement, federal courts, the Postal Service, transportation security, and Veterans Affairs. How many workers are in Indiana? About 24,000 civilians in Indiana worked for the federal government as of September 2024, according to a report from the Congressional Research Service. The U.S. General Services Administration manages space in more than 150 buildings in Indiana, according to its website. That includes the Major General Emmett J. Bean Federal Center in Lawrence, which houses staff for the Defense, Finance, and Accounting Service. The largest number of federal civilian workers live in the Southern Indiana Congressional Districts, represented by Republican Reps Mark Messmer, Indiana 8, and Aaron Hoochin, Indiana 9, as well as the district represented by Democratic Republican Andre Carson, Indiana 7, which encompasses most of Indianapolis, according to the CRS report. What will stop during a shutdown? When the federal government shuts down, many employees are told not to work, but people in jobs that are considered essential, such as law enforcement and air traffic control, are required to continue working without pay. Although airport security should continue to operate, there may be a disruption for travelers if the shutdown is prolonged. More federal workers called in sick during the 2018-19 shutdown, according to NPR. The U.S. Postal Service should continue to operate normally during a shutdown because it is self-funded by selling goods and services. Under a 2019 law, federal employees, including those who are furloughed, receive retroactive pay once the shutdown ends, according to the Brookings Institution, a nonpartisan think tank. But this time around, the federal government might go beyond furloughing employees. NPR reported that the White House instructed federal agencies to prepare to permanently lay off workers. The next article, CEO Ortho Lasers move to Warsaw, made a lot of sense. Posted on Tuesday, September 23, 2025, written by Alex Brown. Warsaw, Indiana. The CEO of Warsaw-based Ortho Laser says the decision to relocate the company's corporate headquarters from Rochester, New York, to Kosciuszko County was a strategic one. Ortho Laser is investing about $500,000 to build out and equip a previously vacant space in Warsaw that also includes the company's flagship wellness center. Rod Mayer, a native of Warsaw, told Inside Indiana Business that Ortho Laser complements a lot of the work being done in the city. The majority of our focus today is on musculoskeletal pain. Many of our patients are total hip, total knee, total shoulder patient, spine patients, Mayer said. So we really believe, from a strategic perspective, it made a lot of sense to bring our corporate headquarters to the orthopedic capital of the world. The company was founded by Dr. Scott Sigman, a sports medicine surgeon in Boston, who lost 3 young patients to drug overdoses. Ortho Laser has 17 clinics in the United States and opened its Warsaw headquarters and wellness center earlier this month. The company uses high-intensity light therapy to decrease inflammation and ease pain. It is the first laser treatment option in Warsaw. The wellness centers use an FDA-cleared robotic laser designed to increase blood flow. That increased blood flow also helps post-surgical wounds heal faster as well, Mayer said. So very simply said, the body likes light. We like vitamin D, don't we? We love going out into the sunshine, and vitamin D is good for our physical bodies. We really are able to bring a therapy at the cellular level. Mayer said Ortho Laser wants to create an orthopedic ecosystem with many orthopedic surgeons joining the company at its wellness centers and treating their patients with this particular form of pain management therapy. Ortho Laser aims to create about 12 jobs in Warsaw through 2028, according to growth marketing manager Logan Peck. But the company's growth plans extend far beyond Kosciuszko County. Ortho Laser aims to have hundreds of wellness centers throughout the U.S. by 2030, and Mayer said they are currently onboarding market expansion consultants all across the country. These people are executives that have been in the orthopedic industry, that have 20 to 25 years of relationships with surgeons in individual marketplaces, he said. So we'll be able to expand the opportunity to grow quickly through these relationships. While he couldn't provide specific details, Mayer said the company has had encouraging conversations with a large orthopedic practice in Indiana to potentially partner with and expand its treatment around the state. He added that a big part of the company's strategy is simply education, and they are currently developing a direct-to-consumer marketing campaign to get the word out about this form of treatment. About 130 million patients in the United States have some form of musculoskeletal pain. So, if you think about that from a consumer perspective, they're looking for alternatives, he said. So, we are educating the consumer across the U.S., and we'll plan to have community outreach programs as well to educate the local community on the benefits of this robotic device in orthopedics. The next article, Purdue Student Newspaper Parts Ways with International Students, posted on Monday, September 29, 2025, written by Zach Cecil, West Lafayette, Indiana. Purdue University's long-standing independent student newspaper, the Purdue Exponent, will no longer employ international students. The Exponent and the university came to similar conclusions earlier this month, said Kyle Charters, the Exponent's publisher. We presume, I guess, that it was an unintended consequence of Purdue's decision over the summer, and one that we feel is honestly pretty unfortunate, he said. The Exponent, which pays students for their work, lost vendor status when Purdue took actions to distance itself from the publication this summer. These included not renewing a decades-long vendor contract, revoking student journalists' parking passes, and ending university assistance with newspaper distribution on campus. The university also asked the publication to remove the word Purdue from its website. We are not hiring international students in the interest of their safety and want to avoid jeopardizing their legal status in the United States, not because we don't want them, said editor-in-chief Olivia Mapes in an editorial Thursday. Purdue did not respond to a request for comment for the story. Due to federal laws, international students on F-1 visas are not able to work for organizations outside a university, except under specific circumstances. As a result of this development, the Exponent parted ways with 4 international student journalists on staff and told about 8 to 10 prospective staffers that they would not be able to join. Charters said the publication's total staff fluctuates between 40 and 140 student journalists semester to semester. The Exponent covers a campus of nearly 60,000 students, where nearly 10,000 are international students. It's tragic, and there's a loss, Mapes wrote. Having people from different backgrounds has made this place special. Without our international students, we have lost a different perspective and way of seeing the world. Our coverage won't be the same without them. Charters, said the exponent, is conferring with attorneys to see if any pathways exist for students with F1 visas. Unless something changes, he said, we're just simply not going to be able to employ international students unless there's a very narrow path. If they were in a major in which the curriculum fit to what we do at Exponent. Purdue University does not have a journalism program. The next article, Cartoon Alley launches downtown revitalization efforts in Napanee, posted on Wednesday, October 1st, 2025, written by Eniola Lunge. Napanee, Indiana. Blown up more than 20 times their original size, the comics splashed across Napanee's new Cartoon Alley, not just entertain. They celebrate the city's golden age of cartooning. The murals immortalize the work of four hometown artists whose strips once reached readers nationwide from the 1920s through the 1970s. The permanent art installation features murals of Bill Holman's Smokey Stover, Fred Nair's Life's Like That, Merrill Blosser's Freckles and His Friends, and Max Gwynn, Slim and Spud. Holman also created Spooky the Cat. The project is the first step in the execution of the city's new downtown master plan. We are incrementally developing the downtown, making improvements where we can, said Mark Collins, Napanee Redevelopment Commissioner's Director of Development. We came up with this idea of redoing our alleyway since a lot of them are underutilized. The alley, chosen for the makeover, sits behind Sweet G's Ice Cream and Thingamabobble's Toy Store on Main Street, a fitting location given the playful theme. The project is more than just a splash of paint. The alley includes serpentine benches, planters that can be swapped seasonally, archways and light posts topped with custom apple-shaped pendant light fixtures. While the murals provide an instant visual pop, the process of designing them took Collins, who moved to the city in 2023, deep into Napanee's past. It took a long time to read all of these comics from that time period, he said, taking a history lesson from our ELC Heritage Collection and looking to see what stores we have used. The city spent about $125,000 on the alley project, coming in under its $200,000 budget. A $25,000 grant from the Elkhart County Community Foundation helped cover costs, and Collins said all labor and materials were provided by local businesses. Our benches were made by an Amish man. Same with the lights and the arch, he said. We also use our local companies to do the install and painting. We're very proud to keep it local. The Redevelopment Commission approved TIF funds to help fund the project, and artists with the Napanee Arts Council, NAC, creators of the Napanee Art Path, executed the mural. It was quite a challenge to understand the scope of the project and actually get everything completed, said Jeff Stilson, president of NAC. So the most exciting thing was seeing it actually done. Describing the project as both a challenge and a privilege, Stilson said he worked with fellow artist Addison Holmes to paint the murals, working to faithfully recreate the cartoonist's style. It gave us an appreciation for the cartoonist's skill, because when you're blowing up a cartoon strip, you really can see the detail involved, Stilson said. We took their details exactly how they drew it. We didn't take any liberty. Stilson said Cartoon Alley builds on the five-year-old Art Path, a program that NAC adds to each year. He added that the installation highlights the strong community support for the arts that has become central to Napanee's identity. There's a bloodline in Napanee that's very artistic. Art within the community has just grown stronger and stronger. and it started with those cartoonists, Stilson explained. To add a cartoon alley to that already existing program of art is just another feather in our cap, and it adds to the vitality of downtown. Revitalization projects in cities like Napanee often rely on strong collaboration between local governments, arts organizations, businesses, and community groups. Cartoon Alley is no exception. Participating businesses included Hoosier Coatings, Pro Time Metal, AMZ's Electric and Blooms on Main Street. It's a sense of how we can all work together, Stilson said. To get all those entities working together shows smaller communities that can be accomplished when people cooperate. As Napanee prepares for a ribbon cutting on October 7th, city leaders already see Cartoon Alley as both a tribute to the past and a step forward, revitalizing downtown for years to come. With community interest in the alley already high, the city is exploring how to use the space for events downtown. It's a fun, entertaining atmosphere for people to explore and learn more about our history and artists, Collins said. It's a deep part of Napanee history that we should all be very proud of. Napanee's downtown growth. The Redevelopment Commission created a forgivable loan fund to help local developers close financing gaps and restore historic buildings downtown. Collins said the initiative is already showing results, highlighting the first program recipient's success so far. The developer has to do 4 apartments upstairs, 2 retail spots down, and he has to own the building for 5 years, Collins explained. He would invest $500,000 on the inside, and we would do $500,000 on the outside. We figure that's a good way to help incentivize more stuff to get done downtown. The revitalization plan seems to be working. Several business owners are expanding, and landlords are making necessary investments in their downtown properties. The bustling coffee shop Main Street Roasters, offering fall specials like a cinnamon roll latte, is poised to expand into another 2 buildings next to its current space. We're experiencing great growth and investment from our local developers downtown, and we're trying to bring back more of that historic feel for downtown, Collins said. Local people are starting to reinvest in downtown and make it more vibrant than what it was, so we're very lucky. Scott Boehner moved his toy store, Thingamabobbles, into one of the retail spots in the newly renovated property that received the forgivable loan earlier this year, a decision that is already yielding results. We moved to this location to get more foot traffic, be on the main drag, have the window display, and to be closer to things like the downtown sculptures, Boehner said. It's a positive difference. With the Cartoon Alley less than 10 steps away from his front door, Boehner said the art installation has done more than increase foot traffic. It is helping people unplug from mobile distractions and resonates with many of its own customers. Lots of people are off their phones, actually looking at it, taking a moment away from technology, enjoying a quiet moment and appreciating the art too, he said. These are the things that people move to a town for. That is that modern edge that young people find appealing. Cartoon Alley is just the beginning of a broader effort to revitalize downtown Napanee. Plans to include additional pedestrian-friendly streetscape improvements, architectural upgrades, and a proposed city plaza. Collins added that the city recently purchased the building across from Cartoon Alley, formerly home to Vintage House, with plans to convert it into a boutique hotel, enhancing the area's appeal to visitors and supporting the ongoing downtown revitalization. Next article, County Council delays votes on data center rezoning request. Posted September 24, 2025, written by Alex Brown. South Bend, Indiana. The St. Joseph County Council on Tuesday postponed a vote to rezone more than 1,000 acres of farmland near New Carlisle for a planned $12 billion data center. Our partners at WSBT-TV, Channel 22, report the petitioner requested the delay in order to have more time to work out issues with the town related to the amount of water the data center would need, which has been a key concern among residents. It sounds like the petitioner, which is the new data center, is going to go back and talk to New Carlisle to see if they can talk about some water issues and whether they will make New Carlisle be more accepting of this project, said Councillor Amy Drake. My opinion is that this is not going to change the opinions of the people on New Carlisle. Last week, the St. Joseph Area Plan Commission voted unanimously to give an unfavorable recommendation to the rezoning proposal before sending it to the county council. One of the big points of contention from the commission and residents at that meeting was the fact that the county's recently adopted 2045 comprehensive plan stipulates that the land cannot be used for anything but agricultural purposes. This goes against the county comprehensive plan passed only 308 days ago, resident Mary Fisherman said at the plant commission meeting last week. It also goes against the New Carlisle plan. If this is allowed, it would be an extreme insult to over 800 people who were asked to work on that plan. St. Joseph County Council President Dan Schatzel was asked if the commission's unfavorable recommendation was persuading the council as it worked toward a decision. Well, I think that matters, but I think more importantly, I think city councils have been in New Carlisle talking to folks there, Schatzel told WSBT. The council will take up the rezoning request again at its next meeting in October. The next article, Elanco opens doors to the future with new 200 million plus Indianapolis headquarters, posted on Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. Written by Daniel Lee. Indianapolis. Elanco Animal Health opened its new global headquarters on the west side of downtown Indianapolis in a Wednesday ceremony that drew hundreds of company employees, state and local leaders, and one furry VIP. A canine named Indy, a very important pet from Indianapolis-based pet training company Medical Mutts Service Dogs, had the distinct honor of chewing through a ceremonial ribbon laden with beef biscuits to help dedicate the 200 million-plus headquarters. Elanco, which spun off from Eli Lilly and Company in 2018, often refers to its business lines of making medicines for animal health as pets and protein. Whether those pets are beloved cats and dogs, or dairy and beef cattle, or other animals. Students from the nearby IPS Edison School for the Arts provided music, drumline, and dancing. A band struck up, Old MacDonald Had a Farm, as guests were arriving. Today, here in downtown Indianapolis, we open the doors to the future, a headquarters within an innovation district that will write the history for the next 70 years of Elanco, CEO Jeff Simmons said during the opening ceremony. A space for innovation. As Simmons spoke, employees looked down from balconies and hundreds of more workers and guests gathered in front of a building constructed on the site of the former General Motors stamping plant on the west side of downtown, which opened in the 1990s and closed in 2011. The state recently sold an additional portion of the old stamping plant to Elanco for $27 million, part of efforts to expand the One Health Innovation District, a partnership between Elanco, Purdue University, and the Indiana Economic Development Corp. Elanco's new home also is within the site of a Lilly headquarters, where Elanco dates back to the 1950s. The three-building headquarters campus includes a six-story administration building, along with separate two-story buildings, one devoted to lab space, and one for a collaborative space Elanco calls its Crossroads Building. Local leaders praise the modern and sprawling Elanco campus as helping to push the vitality of downtown westward and as an example of a Hoosier company choosing to expand and collaborate for further growth in its home state. Purdue President Meng Qing began his remarks by noting that pleasantness of the first day of October as harvest season weather. Your public land grant institution, Purdue University, is committed to the city of Indianapolis, not as a regional campus, but also as part of our essential main campus. It is Indianapolis and West Lafayette, Chang said. Purdue is also committed to the One Health Innovation District, human, animal, and plant health working together, and we all know they got to work together. We have the best asset in the United States to win. Pets have never mattered more. Elanco's move from its former headquarters in Greenfield along Interstate 70 comes as Elanco is gaining momentum in increasing profitability with sales driven by blockbusters such as Credelio Quattro, a chewable tablet that protects dogs from parasites such as fleas, ticks, and heartworm disease. One of the key things we want to do in our state is to make sure that our companies choose to still do business here and make an investment like this, Governor Mike Braun said. Elanco has a global workforce of about 9,450, with more than 700 working out of the new headquarters. Elanco's new headquarters includes innovation laboratories, as well as many of the employee-centered features included in gleaming modern business complexes. There are a variety of workstations, including some outside, a wellness center and gym, places to play pickleball, bocce ball, and basketball, and a cafe and coffee shop. The new Elanco headquarters also is dog-friendly, with an enclosed dog park. Elanco's relevance to society has never mattered more or been more significant as we work through pets and protein, CEO Simmons said. Pets have never mattered more to families, and protein is the fastest growing food category in the world. Taylor Schaefer, CEO of Downtown Indy Alliance, called the new headquarters a game changer for the city's west side, especially the neighborhood where it's located. In August, the company launched Nutrition Secure Indianapolis, a hunger relief initiative that will provide fresh food and produce to neighborhood families in partnership with the Mary Rigg Neighborhood Center and the Edison School. We're so excited to be able to see a company that really wants to be connected, that wants to be connected with the neighborhood, that wants to be connected downtown. Schaefer said after the ceremony, that's been a priority from the onset, as they've thought about what that employee would experience would be like, what creating would mean for their company, but also what they could bring to the surrounding area. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Victoria Cantrell with Indiana Business News. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.